You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, Future You gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future You goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.
You're listening to The V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Thank you so much for being with us here on this Friday. We're going to hear from an interview we chatted earlier in the week with Katie George. It's kind of an evergreen, and I just thought you might be interested in it. She's obviously got a lot of friends still here. And we talk about her journey to go to the NBA and then to the ACC network and what she thinks about the program going on right now at Louisville. So we'll have that a little bit later. We'll take the Sagarins and take them through the top 25 matchups this weekend. We were just celebrating the non-conference schedule of teams back in the day. And, oh, my God, if you weren't with us, wow is all I can tell you. Wow, wow, wow. We did just randomly pick 2 years, 1977-78 for Louisville and Kentucky in their non-conference schedule. And if you weren't with us, please, it's not aimed at specifically these two teams. This was the way of the world then. I mean, but that's as a fan. Now you know how you could fall in love with college basketball. This is the non-conference games for Louisville in that year. Non-conference. At Providence, Vanderbilt, Michigan, Robert Morris, Purdue, Dayton, Marquette, LaSalle, and Georgia. I still can't get over that. That's your non-conference schedule. Kentucky's was SMU, Indiana, Kansas, South Carolina, Portland State, St. John's, Iona, and Notre Dame. And then, by the way, in the middle of the year, they played UNLV at Rupp. Holy Toledo. Are you kidding me? So a texter said, check out Louisville's 85-86 schedule. All right, so let's take a look at that, shall we? Let's go see what we can come up with here. Because what he said is, they're not going to do it there. All right, I'm sorry, it's taking me so long. It took me 2 seconds to find the other one. I don't know why it's taking. Here it is. This is the website I want. Okay, here we go. They played non-conference. They played Miami, Tulsa, Kansas, St. John's, Purdue, Iona, Western Kentucky, Indiana, Kentucky, Wyoming, Eastern Kentucky, and then they got into Metro play. But then in the middle of Metro, they still, because you played so few Metro tournament games.
Who was in that conference?
The Metro, I'll tell you in a minute. They also would play some very big non-conference games in the middle of the year. They played Syracuse. They played Kansas again. Played Kansas twice in the same year. They played UCLA. Holy Toledo. They played NC State. They played DePaul. These are right smack in the middle of the year. That's the other thing I was struggling with. When I first got into coaching, I mean, you have those games. But now everybody gets into conference, and that's it. So it almost reduces the non-conference to, like, exhibition games. And I always didn't really understand that. I liked that they had these big games thrown in the middle. The coaches don't, but I did. The Metro, that year, the Metro had changed. But in 85-86, and this is why you had to play so many of those other games, you only played 12 games because there are only seven teams in the league. It was Louisville, Memphis, Virginia Tech, Southern Mississippi, Cincinnati, Florida State, and South Carolina. And think about those teams are all over the place now. Louisville's in the ACC. Memphis is in the American.
Really, that is all over
Virginia
the place.
Virginia Tech's in the ACC. Southern Miss is in. What the hell are they in? They in the Conference USA? I don't even know what they're in.
Cincinnati, SMU?
He's in the no, that's SMU's Southern Methodist. This is Southern Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
Cincinnati's in the American. Florida State's in the ACC, and South Carolina's in the SEC. So, but they were the three of the teams were ranked that year: Louisville, Virginia Tech, and Memphis. And Louisville's schedule at the time they played those teams. Kansas was ranked 5th, Indiana was ranked 17th, Kentucky was ranked 13th, Memphis was ranked 6th, Syracuse was ranked 4th. They played Kansas again, then they were 7th. Virginia Tech in the league was 15th twice, both times they played them. And then Memphis, to close out the regular season, was 7th. Then, of course, they won the national championship, and they had to beat Bradley, who was 14th, and Duke, who was number one. And they beat in the national championship game, of course, 72-69. They ended the year on a 17-game win streak. And, of course, as so many people have been kind enough to point out to me, both national championships that Denny won, the last team to which they lost was coached by my brother Jim. That's a very odd, very, very odd stat. Back on February 8th, they played at North Carolina State, and State won 76-64 at 17 in a row. And win the national championship. That's and finished 32-7. Just magnificent. Then, of course, if you go back to the 80 championship, it's the same deal, except it wasn't at NC State at that time. It was at Iona College. Iona was really good. They were ranked for much of that year.
So they had Jeff Ruland.
They had Jeff Ruland. They lost. That was much later in the year. Well, not much later. February 21st. They lost at Madison Square Garden to Iona 77-60, and then they proceeded to win the next 8 games in a row and win the national championship. They won their regular season finale in the Metro. You only had to play 2 games to win the Metro Conference Tournament, and they did beat Memphis and beat Florida State, and then made a 5-game run through the NCAA, beating Kansas State, Texas A&M, LSU, Iowa, and UCLA. So pretty remarkable bit of coincidence there. But
Southern Miss is in Conference USA, by the way.
I was right. Yes. Yay, I
good
win.
Job. Good work.
Can I get a prize?
Also, Coach Cal's presser, which ended rather abruptly. He just was like, blank you guys, I got to go to practice. He
didn't say the blank you, though.
No, but he was just like, got to go, bye. It was kind of impressive. That was brought to you by UPS Jobs. Graduate debt-free. Learn more about the UPS Loop program and Metro College at UPSjobs.
What you used to say when you were a toddler, the ROOP program.
The ROOP. Big fan of Metro College. Graduated almost debt-free. The only reason I graduated with debt was because I played a game called Don't Go to Class for a semester.
Okay. Here's the deal. Here's exactly how this is going to play out. I want you to know exactly so that there will be no surprises. I think that this is the radio equivalent of watching, like, pardon the interruption or something, where they're scrolling down the right side.
Ah, yes. Once we have video, we'll have that.
That's going on. No, I hope not, but because I'll never follow it. So here's the deal.
No, you won't. I will put random things up there. Tomato
today,
soup, Nerf guns.
But today,
Michael Jordan, Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame.
We are going to follow it. Because what I'm going to do right now, in this order, in terms of content, Katie George is going to come up after a short break, and then we're going to go and do the Sagarin ratings and tell you how that stacks up for a matchup of some interesting final top 25 matchups and local games of interest as well. So we'll do all that. But just so you know, the whole rundown, I'm going to tell you about DraftKings because there's a way that you can get $1,000 in bonuses. That's pretty sexy and tasty. So we're going to do that. Then we're going to take the break, and Katie George is going to join us. Then I'm going to tell you about Lightstream. I'm all about putting money in your pocket. It's all about taking care of your chicken. That's what this is really about. That's what we help you do here at the V-Show. We help you take care of your chicken. And frankly, we don't discriminate between certain fowl. We look after your turkey. We're cognizant of your duck. All that thing. We're
a little reckless with your pastrami. But,
that's not a bird.
But that's for fun.
That's not a bird. The other things were all fowl.
Oh, apologies.
Yeah.
We're very responsible with your pheasant.
Okay, there you go. So then I'll tell you, so you'll save money, you'll pay off your credit cards with a one-stop loan from Lightstream, and then you'll make your house, because winter's back again, evidently. It comes and goes, and so you want to keep your home warm and toasty. You'll want to do it with some windows that'll keep your home secure and look fabulous, and that's all from Universal Windows Direct. So that's, I mean, that is a, what a stack, what a absolute stack, stack deck that is of quality programming. It starts by telling you how you can get up to $1,000. $1,000, I don't know about you, but I'd like $1,000.
I would love a nice grand.
$1,000 sandwich. You can put it between two slices of rye bread.
I'd eat it. With, you know what? With
condiments.
A lot of condiments.
Conference Championship Week is here. Four teams, two games, so little time left. Don't miss out. Get in all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook. It's America's top-rated sports betting app. It is a safe and secure betting app. It is a fun and very, very innovative one as well. They have great promotions every day, odds boosts, free bets. And this week, here's a cool one. This one's kind of fun. Bet on any star player to score the first TD of the game, and you'll get 10-1 odds. That's pretty cool. You'll be watching a game rooting for your guy to score. That is what you do at DraftKings. Those are the kind of bets they have and the kind of money you can make watching some of the quality football, and not just football, of course, all sports, but certainly with conference championship games, there'll be lots of eyes on those this weekend. You mentioned $1,000. What about that? Hey, just calm down. I get you $1,000. Right here's your $1,000. We tell you about $1,000 and we deliver. State your business. Don't interrupt commercials. Is he stating his business? This better be damned important because DraftKings is going to give people $1,000 and I'm trying to tell him and he just marched in. What do you want?
I might have sent a message to try to get a certain bald-headed lawyer who doesn't like the NCAA to maybe come on one of our programs.
Not ours, though, because we don't have room for him.
Well, I tried, but he never got back to me.
Okay.
So then I was like, hey, what about these guys instead?
Okay.
Because I'm a team player.
So you once again were doing stuff for another guy's show. Just want to be sure. So.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Because I'm a team player.
Okay.
I'm valuable. I'm a valuable asset, Dad.
Download
not a valuable ass hat.
Here's $1,000.
A valuable
download
asset.
Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code WHBE when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users get a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook going all out with a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. Don't forget, that's code WHBE and get your sign-up bonus up to $1,000. Only place to get it, DraftKings Sportsbook. Only code that gets it, WHBE. Must be 21 or older, Indiana only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match, each up to $500. The deposit bonus requires a 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. We'll take a break. Katie George, then some college Sagarins. We got quite a lot of programming still to go on this Friday here on ESPN 680-1057.
More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Let me tell you about my friends at Lightstream. You must have some credit card debt, or many of you do anyway, with the holidays just in the rearview mirror. Well, not only is it more convenient to pay it all off in one fell swoop, or at least with one bill to write, one check to write, or one payment to make, rather than a series of payments to all those credit cards, consolidate them with the credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Now, that's more convenient. So even if you didn't save any money, you'd have the nice convenience of doing that. But if you roll multiple credit card payments into just one payment, you'll get a lower fixed rate and save yourself some serious money. How serious? Well, check this out. Lightstream's credit card consolidation loans have interest rates as low as 5.95% APR with auto pay. You know what the national average for credit cards is? Over 20%. Yeah, so going from under 6% to over 20%, that'll save you some money. There's no fees, no application fees, no origination fees, no fees. No fees, feeless, no fees. Without fees, Jerry, we got no fees. The application is so quick and easy, you can apply right from your phone. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what you get at Lightstream. Go to get a special interest rate discount only for if you use our code. Go to Lightstream.com/Valvano. That's LIGHTSTREAM. Lightstream.com/Valvano. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes a 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/Valvano for more information. We're going to help take a look at the rest of the program. We got a little 5 minute or so chat with Katie George. She's really done well for herself, and I know you like to keep up on some of the locals. She went from here to do the Milwaukee Bucks games, and then she's been with the ACC Network. We'll pick her brain about all of that, and we visited with her, and we're going to hear that, and then we'll come back, take a look at some of the details of Duke and Louisville for the matchup for tomorrow, and then we'll wrap it up by seeing what the Sagarins have to say about some of these top 25 matchups. So that's a lot of stuff to do. So let's start it by, here's our conversation with the lovely and talented Katie George.
Well, Katie, first of all, it's great to see you. I mean, it seems like yesterday you were just trying to get into business. The next thing you know, boom, you're in the NBA, and boom, you're in the ACC Network. You're going so fast.
Yeah, yes, it's been fast, but it's been a lot of fun. And I've had a great time getting into the broadcasting industry, and I've had a lot of help along the way.
What was contrast doing the Milwaukee games in the NBA and what you're doing right now? I mean, they're different skill sets, but there's a lot of similarities. So what about the two of them?
Yeah, well, it's a different game, that's for sure. You know, growing up in Louisville, I didn't have an appreciation for the NBA, you know, because I was always around the college game. That's what I grew up watching and loving and being a fan of. So when I got to the NBA, I kind of had the preconceived notions that, oh, they don't play any defense, and is it really that much fun to watch? And gosh, I was in for a rude awakening because it is such a fun league to cover. Now, I was working for a specific team, so I'm at every Bucks practice, every shoot around. I'm traveling on the plane, on the buses with the players, the coaches, the medical staff, and so it really became a family when I moved to Milwaukee, which was the first time I had moved away from Louisville, and I loved that experience. It's a bit different of a level, but in terms of my role, it's essentially the same thing on game night when you're covering the sidelines, but now you're covering two teams as opposed to one, and you're trying to dive into a league of 15 and what have you, and learn the league inside out.
I mean, I know your heart's in Louisville, but was it hard to leave that? That's a pretty darn good job to leave that. I mean, this is a good job too, but was it hard? Did you wrestle with it a little bit?
Oh, I wrestled with it so much to the point where I had people in my corner saying, you know, this really isn't a decision. It's right there in front of you. You need to take the ACC Network job and move forward because the trajectory and ceiling is so high being within the ESPN company. But in terms of walking away from Milwaukee, it was so hard because I really grew to love the city. I love the community and the fans and the people I work with on a day-to-day basis really became my family. So that was hard to walk away from. But in terms of covering a league that is near and dear to my heart, I played in for two seasons, my junior and senior years. It was kind of a no-brainer when you put the pros and cons list down on paper.
Plus, you're covering a pretty good team. That makes it a lot of fun.
Yes.
They won a lot.
Yes, and they're still winning. I watch from time to time when I'm in a hotel room or at home, and they are still on track. So I'm hopeful for what they can achieve this year.
What's your schedule like? I didn't know until I talked to Luke that they're doing the ACC Network stuff's out of Bristol. I thought it was out of Charlotte. So how much traveling are you doing?
So much travel. It is not easy to get to Bristol.
No.
But it's nice having it there because you get the resources of ESPN behind you. And so for me, I travel to my games, whatever that may be. I get calls that say, hey, we need you on SportsCenter tomorrow covering Clemson before they go to New Orleans for the national championship. Or, hey, can we have you in Bristol to host the show and fill in? And so I just feel like I'm picking up my phone and someone's telling me where to go. But that's good. You know, being busy is good. And they're putting me on a lot of different things, which I think helps with my versatility.
Absolutely does. Talking to Katie George here in Pittsburgh. In all fairness to our listeners, we're taping this before the game, so I can't ask you about, hey, how about Louisville tonight?
What a game. What a game, Bob.
Wasn't it unbelievable? And that shot, oh, my. But you know, you have familiarity, obviously, with the league, but do you have to kind of fight off a Louisville bias when you're doing some reporting?
You know, when I was working at WDRB, I felt that I fought it more covering Louisville games and then having to go to Rupp Arena and sit on the baseline and watch Kentucky play. Now that I'm pretty removed, I don't fight that inclination as much. I do find myself, though, sitting on the couch watching Louisville, like when they played Notre Dame on Saturday, thinking, oh, my God, go! You know, you are rooting for them, especially when I'm sitting next to my father. But now, the further and further I get removed, the easier it is for me to be objective in my analysis and my work.
I think this is a fair question to ask. It's been a rather eventful few years for the Louisville athletic program. But I was saying on my show the other day, you know, root for who you want or whatever, but the group that's in place now is really trying to do things, for lack of a better word, the right way. How do you feel about where they came from to where they are?
You know, I've been really impressed. I was a part of the old regime, if you will, with Tom Jurich, who was very much in my corner, and he did a great deal of many things for me in terms of getting me started in my career. So did Rick Pitino. You know, Bobby Petrino was good to me and allowed me to work with Lamar Jackson. You know, so I have, you know, great respect for those men and what they did for our university over all those years. I mean, I grew up rooting for those coaches.
Sure.
And that AD, but I got to hand it to Vince Tyra. I think he's done a phenomenal job under the circumstances that he had to come in and take over and do what he had to do, and the hires that he's made. Yeah. I've been really, really impressed. Obviously, Scott Satterfield had a phenomenal first season, 8 wins, a bowl win. Getting to work and cover his games have been really exciting for me and a true pleasure, and this will be my first game. Well, last night was my first game covering Chris Mack for the first time, and so I'm really excited. But I think they're headed in the right direction. They already are in the right direction, and that just is a testament to getting the right people in the right job.
And your volleyball team had quite a year.
Oh, my gosh, I know. I was so excited. I was actually in Waco covering the Waco Regional, and by the time we got off the air, I hopped in the car and drove to Austin so I could watch Louisville play Minnesota in the Elite Eight. I was so proud of them, and gosh, for as young as they are, to look so poised on that stage, kudos to Danny Buston-Kelly. She's done a remarkable job.
All right, before I let you go, your job now is covering the whole league. The narrative is there's three teams that have separated themselves a little, Louisville, Florida State, and Duke. I think that's fair. But how far above everybody else are those three in your mind, and who else do you look at as the best of the rest?
Obviously, those three are the top tier, and I think it's pretty far. I mean, in terms of Notre Dame, Virginia, Pittsburgh is somewhat of an enigma. You know, they go and they beat North Carolina, who's having a down year, of course. They beat Florida State.
Yeah.
So I think there's one tier, and then everybody else is chasing, much like football, where it's Clemson and everybody else. I hope that this is just kind of a blip on the radar, where maybe this is a down year in the ACC. Because I would hate to think that the NCAA tournament only has four or five teams in it when we get to March. Because, you know, obviously the ACC produces so many great teams. Sometimes there's three or four contenders for the national championship within the league. And so I hope that they can trend back in that direction.
It's wonderful to see. You got a lot of friends in Louisville, as you know, and continued success.
Thank you very much. Great to see you.
It's good to catch up with Katie. We try and keep tabs on some of the locals. One more quick comment, if you haven't seen this. Jameson Hensley, no, all kidding aside, has a piece on ESPN.com about John Harbaugh very, very aggressively defending Lamar Jackson. And, you know, Stephen A. did also. And listen, I know we have a rooting interest there, but he wasn't great. He certainly wasn't great last year in the playoffs, and he wasn't that much better this year, but he still ran for, what, 150 yards through for 300 or whatever it was.
I think it was 500 all-purpose.
And he said
plus.
He's 23 years old. He's younger than Joe Burrow, okay? Harbaugh said, chew on that for a little bit. He's younger than Joe Burrow, he said at his end-of-season news conference. So he's got a pretty good head start right now. I mean, he's along the way. The Manning brothers combined today had 5 losses in their first 5 playoff games before they won one. Montana, Young, and Favre didn't start a playoff game until their 3rd season. Breeze and Aikman until their 4th season. Aaron Rodgers until his 5th season. Attaboy, John Harbaugh! That's the way to throw facts at unsubstantiated opinion. Asked if Jackson has a tendency to be just too self-critical, Harbaugh said, I think he understands what it is to take great responsibility, and he also has a great sense of urgency to be successful. So, no, he doesn't lack for confidence. He's not doubting himself, if that's the implication that people are making. So, good for him. That's nice to hear. I think he's in a good place. His coach has his back. And, well, he should. The guy's only going to be the MVP. Louisville plays a Duke team this year that is different than many of his recent Duke teams. Mike, in recent years, has had teams that the strategy was, we're going to outscore you, basically. I just don't want guys to get in foul trouble. They're going to play a little 2-3 zone. I mean, amazing for a guy who started his career never playing zone, the Bob Knight disciple, and instead they played a lot of zone, tried to protect guys who were in foul trouble, and to keep them out of foul trouble, rather, and they would try and win like 95-90, and they still want to score a lot of points, but they got back at the beginning of this year to play in the old Mike Krzyzewski style. When we saw him in the Garden, it was up in your face, deny the passing lanes, hand in the passing lane, you know, slapping the floor, really getting after people. So it was interesting to see the contrast. It was obvious. What's working against them right now is, as many of you know, they are shorthanded. If you play that way, you need bodies. You need a couple of things. You need a point guard who can really dictate play. They've got that. They've got a guy who's as good as any in the country in Trey Jones. But they don't have the depth right now because they have got guys banged up. Wendell Moore Jr. Had surgery. He's going to be gone for a while. And Joey Baker had a sprained ankle, and we're still waiting. We don't know what his status will be for Saturday. So what that meant is, as Coach K himself said, up until the last couple of games, we haven't had guys in the 30s for minutes played, but things change and you have to adapt. So I don't know how that may – will he go back to play a little softer and play zone? Because the one thing Louisville does have is they have a strong 9 right now, arguably 10. And so they have bodies. That doesn't matter. If you got 10 guys who can't handle extended pressure defense, that's a problem. And that, frankly, that's not been what Louisville's done the best. The teams that have given them the most trouble are the teams that have really gotten up in them and put pressure on. Now they have a couple of things working for them. For the people who are clamoring for David Johnson to play, I mean, listen, nobody, including the coach, thinks anything other than he's going to be a very, very good player. But as good as he was in the last game, and he was very good, you still saw some mistakes of inexperience late, and that's dicey for a guy. These games are going to be close. I mean, let's hope it's close with Duke, to be honest with you. And secondly, you know, he's still learning some things, but he also has a skill set that enables him to do some things, especially against extended defense, that some of the other guards can't do. For example, Darius is good at getting around people, but he's not long enough. He's not big enough to get in the lane and carry the ball to the rim. I'm amazed how often David, when he gets in the lane, literally carries the ball right to the rim. And that's a great skill, because if they're extending, it means there's going to be driving lanes. The two things you want to be able to do if teams are going to get up and play in passing lanes is get the ball to your postman, something that he's not been always great at, but it's not him alone. Collectively, they haven't always been able to do a good job of that. That's been kind of a combination of things. Sometimes Enoch especially doesn't move his feet enough to give them a proper passing lane, and sometimes he does, and he's really done that, and they don't take the ball to a spot on the floor where they can get the pass to him. But that's some work in progress for them collectively. But the other thing it'll do when you extend is you find a guy who can go around his man, get in the lane, and create. And David can get in the lane, and Darius can also. David's doing a little what Darius did when he first got here, though. He sometimes tries to make a little bit too cutesy, slick a pass. It's great. You want a guy with confidence, but boy, when these games are going to be decided by a possession or two, you saw that late in the Pitt game. He got in there and tried to make the slick bounce pass to the post, and there was nobody there. It wound up being a turnover. You just, that'll come with experience. But for the people, nobody's arguing with the people who are saying, do you not see how good this guy can be? Yes, I do, and much more importantly, so does Chris. I've talked to him, he does, but you gotta, you know, it's, again, here we go, let the cake bake. Is it going to be a very, very delicious, great, absolutely award-winning cake? It has certainly the potential to do that, but you can't take it out of the oven 8 minutes in and say, hey, what's the matter with this thing? Well, it's not ready yet, and he's getting more and more ready as they go, and it's starting to show, and that'll be a big advantage. So it will be a big advantage if the guards can step up and play a solid game against the perimeter pressure. And it also is going to be interesting to see what they can do on the interior, because as they're not deep, and Louisville, unlike a lot of teams in the league, does have low post scoring presence. Their second leading scorer is Stephen Enoch. Can they go right inside? Can they go and try and perhaps get Vernon Carey in foul trouble? He's been terrific. He's averaging over 17 points and 8.5 rebounds a game. And so You know, Duke is averaging 83 points a game, so they do want to go, but it starts with how well Louisville can handle the extended defensive pressure that we've seen from some other teams, and that's going to be an interesting ball game. They definitely can win this game. If they do, they amazingly they'd be 15-3. They'd be all alone in first place in the conference. Duke is going to come in. They only have two losses. They're going to be a bit cranky about losing at Clemson, and it's going to be a tough task. But as I said, either way, keep in mind that most of these games are going to be very, very competitive and close. And that would be the only thing that's really disappointing, to be honest with you. Certainly you want to win every game. But I mean, if Louisville goes down there and it's not a close game, that would be very disappointing. They had a big lead on Duke last year. They lost it at home. They lost here. But this year's team, the big motto was finish, 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 and they did that against Pitt. They did that against Notre Dame. So now you want to get yourself in a situation where you have a chance to finish late against as good a team as there is in the country. I mean, we talked about Duke and Kansas. That's how good they looked, and then Duke loses at Clemson, and Kansas loses at home to Baylor, and now all of a sudden you got a whole different narrative. So it's a great opportunity game for Louisville. And either way, if they win it, that's a really big feather in their cap. First place in the league, all the discussion about early part of the year, how special this team can be. People will be back on that tack, and that's fine. But even if they don't, and I'm not suggesting they won't, but even if they don't, if they go and play well, that's the landscape of college basketball. It means that they have a very good team that is facing a very daunting challenge. Duke does not lose in that building very often. So, if they play well, I'm sure Chris doesn't want to hear that. Nobody wants to hear that. You go in there with a purpose to win the game. But if they come out of there with a great competitive back-and-forth battle with Duke, win or lose, I think you still got to feel that they are on that short list of those teams. I can't say it's that short, but of the 355 Division I teams, there's maybe 16. Dan Shulman said earlier on our show, he thinks maybe as many as 30 that you could talk about as possible Final Four teams. I don't know if it's that long, but certainly 16, maybe 16, 18 are the most logical ones. Louisville certainly has done nothing to dissuade me from they should be in that discussion, but there certainly is no, as I said, when I say that, and if they don't make it, or any of these other teams that we've talked about, I'm sure because the people love to die, what are you talking about? You didn't know what you're talking about. They didn't make the Final Four. This, if I said this, 16 teams, and there's only four that go to the Final Four. You're talking about for the best teams in the country, their chances of even getting to the Final Four are like 1 in 4. And if you buy Showman's theory, let's round off 30 to 32 just so I can make the case. You got a 1 in 8 chance. If there really are 30 to 32 teams that are logical Final Four possibilities, and you're one of them, unless you see some really vast separation in there, you got a 1 in 8 chance. And in the 16, you got a 1 in 4 chance. So, nothing I've seen. The good news, that's still an elite team, and that's a special situation that presents itself. And this game would go a long way to helping in your seeding, which certainly increases your chances of getting into the Final Four and all of that. But nobody's getting eliminated tomorrow, I don't think. I think that's definitely for sure. Let me tell you about my friends at Universal Windows Direct. That's who presents our program. Universal Windows Direct is a home of one of the great offers right now where you can get free installation, 0% financing for up to 36 months, a warranty that lasts for as long as you own your home and 30 years to the next homeowner, and they have windows that are the best on the market. They have super spacer technology, which is rooted in the aerospace industry and absolutely keeps the window seal better and keeps your home more comfortable no matter what the climate. They're specially designed for this particular climate, this crazy climate we live in. The temperature seemingly drops and goes up and down like a yo-yo. They will keep your home comfortable and save you money in your utility bills. So check them out and get a free in-home estimate, and you will find out what I've been saying. It's the best window on the market with the best deal. Free installation. Buy one, get one free. No limit. Best warranty. As long as you're on your home, 30 years to the next homeowner. These windows last 5 times longer than other windows on the market. You'll save money on your utility bills. And, oh, by the way, your house will look awfully nice. It'll have that new home glow with new windows from our friends at Universal Windows Direct. Check them out and see why you'll be saying, like I say, I love my windows. All right, let's take a look at what the Sagarins have to say about these upcoming matchups. First of all, If you start with the matchups for the locals here, there we go. Very nice. Thank you, computer, for actually cooperating. I'm told we got new computers, by the way, so we're pretty jazzed up about that. So hopefully it'll alleviate some of these delays that we go through. Duke right now has a Sagarin rating. They don't release the point spreads until the day of the game, so I can't even tell you what the odds are going to be exactly, but I can tell you what the Sagarins say they should be. Duke is a 93.2 rating at home. Excuse me, 93.2 rating at home, though, you add 3.2. So that would make it roughly 96.5. Louisville is 87.5. So Louisville should be a 9-point underdog, according to that. Duke has played four top 50 teams and won all of them. Louisville has just one win in four tries against the top 50. So this would be a daunting task. If you want to go by recency bias, if you will, the Sagarins say that Duke should be a 93.5. Louisville would still be an 85.5, so it's just 8 points. So by recency, Louisville's doing a little better, but the fact is Duke is about an 8 or 9 point favorite when you look at those numbers. If you look for Kentucky, who is going on the road to take on Arkansas. If I can scroll. Come on, don't let me down. It's holding your breath with the computer all the time. Kentucky is at 86.9. Wow. Listen, the numbers don't always translate to the court. There's no way the numbers on paper said that Michigan State was going to get blown out at Purdue for sure. But, boy, if this is true, that is where they're going, right? They're going to Arkansas, right? Aren't they going to Arkansas? Nick's ignoring the show again, so that's fine. Arkansas at home would be an 89.2. Kentucky. Is Kentucky going to be an underdog in this game?
There was talk that they were going to be like a 1 or 2 point underdog.
That's what the Sagarins say. The Sagarins say that the Arkansas at home should be, I want to make sure I'm doing the math right, 85.5 plus 3 is 88.5. It's roughly 89 on the button, and Kentucky's 87 on the button. Arkansas should be a 2-point favorite. How about that? How about that, Mikey? What do you think of that? That's a bit surprising. I don't know why. I mean, Arkansas is, after all, 14-2. They've only played two top 50s. They're 1-1. Kentucky's played four top 50s. They're 3-1. So, give you an idea about that part of the scheduling, who's played the more difficult or who's had more success against the more difficult teams on their schedule. Take a look at some of the other marquee games and see what the Sagarins have to say. Again, locally, let's go to the Big Ten and see what it says for Indiana. Indiana tomorrow will be facing Nebraska on the road, and Nebraska is next to last in the league in Fred Hoiberg's first year there. The Big Ten says that Nebraska at home would be a 79. They'd be a 79. Indiana right now is at 83, roughly 84. So Indiana should be a 4-point favorite there. Indiana's played six top 50 teams and is 2-4. But you know, in Nebraska, for all their struggles in the league and 7-10 overall, has also played six top 50s and they are also 2-4. So don't sleep on Nebraska and don't think this is going to be any kind of an easy game, to say the least. So we'll keep an eye on that one as well. Some interesting ones tonight. Dayton goes to St. Louis. Dayton is 13th in the country right now, and they are taking on a St. Louis team that very quietly has put together a 14-3 mark. That is a good start for St. Louis, and Dayton is, as I said, at 15-2, and Dayton is 87.8 in the Sagarins. Let's round that off to 88 to make our math easy. St. Louis at home, again, to round it off, would be 83. So Dayton should be a 5-point favorite in that game. They're actually a 7-point favorite. So if anything, maybe they're giving too many points. St. Louis, the Sagarins, that would still be a no play. It's only 2-point separation, but that's what they say there. Michigan State takes on Wisconsin tonight in East Lansing, and Michigan State ranked at number 15 at 13-4. Michigan State is still the highest Sagarin team in the Big Ten at 87.8. You add roughly 3 going home, it's 90. It's 91. They are 91 with the home court advantage. Wisconsin is 87 roughly. So Michigan State should be a 4-point favorite. They're a 9.5-point favorite. That would be a play. Take Wisconsin and the points there. but Wisconsin has played 9 top 50 teams already, and they're 5-4. Michigan State has played 9 top 50 teams. They're also 5-4. So I wonder if by recency, is that why that spread is so big? By recency, Wisconsin should actually be favored. So that's a Sagarin play there. Take whiskey there. That's too many points, 9.5. Michigan goes to Iowa. Iowa very quietly at 12-5 and 17th in the Sagarin ratings. They're at home with an 86.8 rating plus 3.2 for playing at home. Takes them to an even 90. And Michigan is at 86. So Iowa should be a 4-point favorite. They're a 5-point favorite. So that would be a no play there. But that gives you an idea. Iowa, unranked, very quietly, 17th in the Sagarins. 5 wins against top 50 teams, 5-3. That's a pretty strong resume. Michigan has played 10 top 50 teams already, and they're 5-5. But that should be a close matchup there. We take a look ahead to Saturday, just as we preview the last couple of games before we got to run here. We already did Louisville and Duke. Baylor goes to Oklahoma State in the Big 12. Baylor on the road would be a 91.2. They are the fourth-ranked Sagarin team. Oklahoma State at home would be 82. Baylor should be a 10-point favorite in that one. Villanova hosts UConn in the revamped Big East. Give me a minute. Big East is Villanova at ranked number 14 is currently, where is that game? At home. So that would mean Villanova is also, and look at the top teams, how close their rankings are, though. Almost every of these top teams I'm mentioning, 90, 91, Villanova is at 90.5. And they are taking on UConn, who is there's still one more year in the American. Let's see. UConn is at 78.8 even. So it should be roughly a 12-point favorite for Villanova at home. I'm trying to find one more top 25 matchup where both of the teams are ranked. Colorado and Arizona, my game. Let's take a fast look at that before we wrap it up. That'll be my game on Sunday, 2:30. You can hear it right here on ESPN Radio. Colorado and Arizona at Arizona, Pac-12 game. And Colorado is the team that's ranked right now. Arizona has dropped out of the rankings. I'm going over the top because I'm not going to leave this just hanging there. So we'll finish this up if I can get the. I know I got to get out of here for the real radio, sports radio talk, guys. But our comedy show will step aside as soon as I get this GD computer to actually function. When are we getting these new computers in here? Because I'm looking forward to that. We're clear. It is. Yay. Colorado on the road, 86.2. Arizona at home would be 87. That game is as pick'em as there can be. It's a half a point separation between Colorado, who's 22nd in the Sagarins, and Arizona, who's 33rd. Colorado very quietly has played itself to a number 20 national ranking and 14-3. That should be a good one. Sean Kelly and I will have the call of that one. Everybody have a great weekend. Be safe. Enjoy the college basketball. Enjoy the NFL playoffs, unless you know something I don't. We'll try it again on Monday. The take is next. ESPN Radio.
UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.